Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
Brethren, we have been looking at the sin of alcohol and the effects that that can have not only upon the community but upon our homes and the devastation that even that brings to the Lord's church. And as I stand before you today, I stand to say that I am most grateful for this congregation and your stand for the truth, but then too, as you went to the polls to vote against the legalization of packaged liquor stores here in McMinnville, and brethren, as a whole, as the Lord's church, and then too, as a community, we have put this to rest, at least for now. And as I thought in regard to this sin and how that it is attacking our community, I also started thinking about other things that is attacking our community as well as our nation. And for the next several weeks, what I want us to do is to look at some of these sins and to identify these people, and then two, to discuss what the Bible has to say. Today, what I want us to look at is homosexuality and how that this indeed is an abomination before the sight of our God. Whenever we think in regard to the home, that is the husband and wife and the children who make up the home, we come to an understanding that our God had established the home. We learn this from the book of Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, that there in the garden, God joined Adam and Eve together as husband and wife, and the home began. And good people, we find this also demonstrated in and throughout the New Testament Scripture that God is the one who is responsible for the establishment of the Christian home as what you and I believe in and as what you and I teach and consider to be the only way in which it should be. Whenever we think in regard to the home, we also understand that God is responsible for defining the home. God created male and female in the very beginning. And I find it interesting here in the context that God did not create Adam and Eve, but rather Adam and Eve. And in this we learn then that God joined them together, the male and the female, as husband and wife. And from what we learn in the Scripture is that God commands this man and this woman to remain faithful to each other until death only should part them. We also learn from the context of the Scripture that God has blessed the home. God has blessed the husband and wife as they love one another and as they continually commit to one another and as they surrender and submit to each other as the Bible requires, as God commands in the home, we come to an understanding that God blesses that marriage, that they are happy with each other, and that they are going to be able to not only maintain a happiness for a period of time, but that happiness will continue with them until death will part them. But then too, a blessing to the home is the offspring. It's the bringing forth of children into the home. Children are indeed a blessing from God. And it's only whenever the home is what God has designed that God will bless that home. Good people, whenever we think in regard to the home, we need to understand that it is under attack today. There are many ways in which the home here in the United States, as well as universally, is being attacked. But today, as I stand before you, I tell you that there's no way any more serious in which we are being attacked than that by the homosexual community. Those who present themselves as the rainbow people, and in this we come to an understanding that that represents the gay people, the lesbian, as well as the bisexual and the transgender individuals, that community. And in this, we come to an understanding that those who present themselves as gay or lesbian, that they are trying to redefine the home. They are trying to find acceptance. They are trying to find a place in our nation as being equal. And I find in the Scripture, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, is that God said that there would come a time when man would have itching ears and that they would raise to themselves teachers. They would invent doctrines wherein that they would be able to establish themselves and to present themselves as being okay. But then too, we understand too as a nation that homosexuality, those who present themselves in such a way, there was a time in our history where they stayed in the closet. They did not come out and openly admit that they were gay. They did not openly involve themselves in relationships. Why is that, I ask? Good people, the reasons are very astonishing as well as very revealing. We come to an understanding that they were rejected. They were not accepted amongst us, but rather they were rejected. And then too, we also understand that in that rejection, they were rebuked. If individuals were to come out and to openly admit that they were gay, there were enough people who had a backbone about them who would stand opposed to this mindset, opposed to this lifestyle. And they were deeply rebuked for their stance in this homosexual lifestyle. And good people, when are we thinking in regard to this too? Whenever they were rebuked, they were also told oftentimes that they needed to be counseled, that this was not right, that this was not according to nature, and that we had laws in this country wherein that this was forbidden. Why were all of these things the case? Good people, because those who presented themselves as homosexuals and those individuals who involved themselves in this type of a lifestyle, they were looked at as a repulsive people. We were sickened by them. We were sickened by their thoughts as well as their actions. And male with male and female with female. In these things, good people, where are we today? International. Internationally, they are accepted as well as oftentimes encouraged. In 2008, whenever I was doing some mission work over in New Zealand, in fact, Charlie Yana, who is with us this morning, was there, and homosexuality is accepted there in that country. And in fact, oftentimes encouraged. Whenever Don and I was doing mission work earlier this year in Australia, across the board, their government accepts those who call themselves gay and lesbian. They allow them to live in their society as an accepted gender or couples. And good people, in this then too, oftentimes it is encouraged not only in New Zealand and Australia, but internationally, everywhere. And then too, what about here in our nation? Our government is making laws. In fact, federal government today, Obama is saying that we need to do away with the don't ask and don't tell concerning our military. And first off, I am appalled that we have a don't ask, don't tell. Good people, the reason for that is that if we find out that a gay was serving in the military years ago, their paperwork was put together and they were cast out immediately. And today we're saying, well, let them serve, but yet just encourage them not to tell what it is that they believe in concerning the fact that they want to be gay or they want to be lesbian. But yet at the same time today, we have a president who is saying, throw that out and let them serve openly. Let's welcome them into the military with open arms. And good people, today I tell you that as a nation, we have gone too far. But then too, there are those individuals who are serving as in our federal government who are saying that we need to pass hate bills. Wherein that if you out here on the street speak against those who are gay or those who participate as lesbians, that you can be charged with a crime. The lesson that I am presenting this morning, if those bills go through, I could actually be prosecuted and thrown into prison for preaching and teaching the truth in regard to where our God is concerning the gay and the lesbians, the bisexuals and the transgenders. In these things, good people, it is looked at as a hate crime. And as I stand before you today, I tell you that I do not hate these people. Rather, I love them. I love their soul, but I hate the sin. And the reason that I am presenting this lesson, and in fact the reason that I trust that each and every one of you would stand where I stand and speak very strongly and boldly against this, is because of your love for their soul as well as your concern where they will stand whenever they stand before the Almighty God if they continue to participate in this homosexual lifestyle. But then too, as a state, in states, we are learning is that we have the legalization of these marriages. In the Northeast, there are some states wherein that they can legally, from a civil standpoint, be joined together as a man and man, woman and woman. Where are we, people? Why are we here? And then, too, they're pushing for spousal benefits. And it's not only our federal government and our states, local government, local communities, local companies even are accepting these people for who they claim that God has created them as, which He has not. They're accepting them and giving them spousal rights. They're giving them benefits that only was established for the proper home that our God had established from the very beginning. Good people, as a nation, we have certainly turned away from where it is that God wants us to go. And yes, I understand, as is taught in the book of Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, that God is responsible for government. and government is there for our protection. But good people, I tell you that government does not always do what God wants us to do. And whenever this is the case, we need to be as what the Apostle Peter says, we need to stand where God stands rather than with man. As a nation, we have turned away from where God commands us to be in regard to the gay community. Why are they gay? To people, I have stood and scratched my head a number of times questioning why. Why would an individual be gay? And as they want to present themselves, they believe that they were born that way. They believe that they were born as a gay, a male, or as a lesbian, or as a bisexual, wherein that they can choose between the male and the female, whatever their preference is for the day. And good people, in this we need to understand that they are claiming, in being born this way, they are claiming that God, our God, has created them as a gay individual, as a lesbian, as a bisexual. And good people, though I tell you today, as I stand before you, that they have a choice. God, and certainly in God, certainly in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 says that let us create man after our image. Good people, when we think in regard to being created after the very image of God, God has created mankind. Out of all the creatures that He has created, He chose to create mankind after His image, after His likeness. Well, what does that mean? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says, And God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul or a living eternal spiritual being. God has created us as spiritual beings. And what do we learn in regard to the way in which God created mankind? Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4 says that God created them male and female in the beginning. Male and female. Why? Because male and female is the way in which God expected a relationship to be, not man and man and woman and woman. Where did these things come from? Good people, that came from mankind, not from God. God did not create them that way. Why are they that way? Because they have a choice in the matter. In fact, in the book of Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua told Israel, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And good people, each and every day, every single one of us need to serve God. And it's our choice whether or not we're going to serve God. And those individuals who participate in being gay or lesbian, why are they that way? Because they have chosen to be that way. And yet, sometimes I have people say to me, whenever I've spoken with individuals who are gay or lesbian or even bisexual, in this they say, "But Kevin, I am tempted. I'm tempted to be with a male." And to that I say, "How in the world can that be? I'm tempted to be with a female." And to people, the Bible passage in the book of James chapter 1 verse 13 says, "Let no man say when I'm tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted, neither tempts any man." Well, where does that temptation come from? To people, He defines it there. He says, "Everyone, when he is tempted, is drawn away of his own lust." Of his own lust. "And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." Why do these people give in to the temptation of this sin? Because it's of their own lust and their own desires. Not because God is tempting them. Why do I state that? Because from what we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, God will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able to bear. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape. Good people, why are they gay? It's because they choose to be gay. And what is it that they want? Those who make up this community, what is it that they're after? I tell you today that they're wanting recognition. They're wanting us to condone. They do not want people to stand, ministers to stand, is what I'm standing today, and to speak against them. They do not want us to oppose them out here on the street, but rather they want our complete approval. They want us to give a thumbs up. They want us to accept them, to wrap our arms around them and welcome them in as an acceptable relationship. But then too, we also understand is that they're wanting rights in this. They're wanting us to rewrite the books whenever it comes to marriage. And good people, not only do they want these rights, they are accomplishing it here in the United States and universally. People are indeed saying, "Well, let them choose. Let's rewrite the Constitution and allow for these things. Let's rewrite the laws of the state and let's allow for these things." They're wanting us to rewrite the books concerning marriage and civil rights, concerning what they claim to be their rights. What about our rights? What about God's rights? Shouldn't those things equate for something?
they're also wanting religion. And I find that most interesting. They're wanting to be able to worship God. I will guarantee you that they would want nothing more than to be able to walk through those doors and us to allow them to worship the same God that you and I are worshiping today. And they want His approval in what it is that they're doing. And they want our fellowship. They want us to accept them. And if they want to be baptized, they want us to let them be baptized and to continue to live. We'll let them be baptized, amen? We'll encourage them. We will teach them and encourage them to be baptized. But the mindset amongst the majority would say, but yet I want to continue to live in this situation of this relationship that I'm in. And to that we cannot allow, because God does not allow. Whenever we think in regard to this, what does God say about homosexuals? Good people, God commanded the children of Israel in the book of Leviticus chapter 18, verses 21 through 30. He says concerning the men, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. That word lie in the Hebrew text is yada, which literally means to have a relationship. You cannot enter into a sexual relationship with a male as what you can with a woman. And in like figure, a woman cannot lay with a woman as what she is commanded, as what she has been created to lie with a male. Why? Because God says that that is an abomination before His sight. What does that word abomination mean to people? It means that God is disgusted whenever He sees a male lying with a male and a female lying with another female. God is sickened whenever He sees those things. And I also find it interesting in the context that He says that a woman shall not stand before a beast. Well, what does He mean? He says, women, you cannot have a sexual relationship with an animal. And you know, it's interesting, whenever I've spoken with those in the gay community and I bring that out, they say, well, that's sick. And I say, you're right, it is sick. And what you are doing, in like figure, is sick. God calls it that. And why did God say that? God says, the custom of the people, verse 30, in that day, they were participating in homosexual lifestyle. They were participating in bestiality. And good people, in these things, God says, you shall not defile yourself. Well, what does that word defile mean? Good people, it means that they make themselves to the point that they are not holy anymore. They fill themselves up with sin. And God warned Israel, do not even do these things that the other nations are participating in. God commanded them, and good people then, God condemned. We find in the book of Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 29. God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we all know the story of the situation there, how that Lot and his family had settled in the land of Sodom. And in this, then, that Abraham wanted so much for Lot to be able to be brought out because God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham pleaded with God, God, if there be 10 righteous, I believe is what it came down to, would you please spare the city? And the Lord says, if there were 10 righteous in there, I would spare the city. And the point of the matter is that there were not. And Abraham says, Lord, please let Lot and his family get out. And the Lord granted Abraham his wish. And as the two angels, the two messengers went there in Genesis chapter 19 into the city, as night fell upon the city, Lot feared for those two men who were there. And Lot invited them into their house. And good people, as night fell upon them and those two individuals were in Lot's house in safety, the people of the house, the men of the city rather, came beating, pounding upon the door to beat it and to break it down. Why? Because they charged and they said, we want you to send those two men out here that we may know them. And somebody says, Kevin, what's wrong with that? They were just wanting to be hospitable. They were just wanting to get to know these individuals. Whenever they came into the city, maybe they didn't get a chance to shake their hand and to say, welcome to our city. Good people, that word, know, is yada. The same as what we looked at over here in the book of Leviticus chapter 18. And that word means sexually. These men of Sodom as well as Gomorrah, they wanted to sexually know these men. And Lot, He protected them against being able to be sexually abused in this manner. And God allowed Lot and his family to escape. And of course, there's a whole other lesson there with Lot's wife, who was turned to a pillar of salt and looking back. We should never look back, amen? But in this, Lot and his daughters fled to the city of Zoar. And God spared that city so that Lot and his family, the faithful, could go there. And he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Why did he do that? Because he condemned the practice of homosexuality. But then, too, we also understand that God chastised those in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. And God says concerning the Gentiles here, He says, they should have known Me. Why should they have known? Because man was able to look out even at the creation and to identify that there is a God. Why did these people not know God? Because, in verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. They claimed to be wiser than God. In what form or fashion did they claim to be wiser than God? Good people, they were not satisfied with the commandments of God. They were not pleased with the laws of God concerning marriage. Why do I state that? Because God says here, He says, and man left the natural, and He says, man being joined with man, and woman being joined with woman, the man no longer burned with a desire for the woman, but rather he burned with a lustful desire for the male. Well, what effect did that have upon their relationship with God? And He says here in the context, having changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, God gave them up. Well, what does that mean that God gave them up? Good people, as I stand before you today, I tell you that that meant that God condemned these individuals for their practice of homosexuality. Their sin separated themselves from God. And God finally, in His disgust of this, said, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, you go and do it. I'm not going to have any part with you at all. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that God wanted them to just go off and to participate? No. It meant that God can have absolutely nothing to do with sin. And if they wanted to live in that type of a lifestyle, then so be it. One of these days, they would stand before God to be judged for that. And if they continued in that sin, yes, the Bible defines those who participate in homosexual lifestyle as a sin. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It's a sinful lifestyle. And the Lord will judge those individuals and condemn those individuals in that day unto an eternal life in hell separated from Him. What must they do? Good people, today I tell you that they must come out. And I'm not saying that they must come out of the closet, but rather they must come out of the situation that they are in. They must come out of living that sin and to be joined with us. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, we learn, come out from among them and be separated from them. And I understand the context that speaks in regard to no matter what the sin is that the individual is committing, we must come out from that sin and we must separate ourselves and those who participate in the homosexual way of living, male with male and female with female, or whatever other kind of mix you want to throw into that. God says that they must come out. We learn in the book of Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will likewise perish. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the day of Pentecost, as those individuals became pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter says, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Well, what is the first thing they needed to do? They needed to understand the need to repent. What does that word repent mean? To people, it means to turn away from. It means to turn and to walk away from sin. And in turning and walking away from sin, where do we go? Good people, in turning and walking away from sin, we turn and we walk to where God is. We need to do like those in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Who turn from idols to serve, to God, to serve the true and the living God. And those individuals who are caught up in the sin of homosexuality, men with men, women with women, they need to repent of that. And to bear forth fruits worthy of repentance, as is taught in Acts chapter 26 and verse 20. Well, what does that mean? They will no longer be gay. They will no longer be lesbian. They will no longer be bisexual. They will no longer be transgender. But what am I saying? Good people, God created man and woman for the heterosexual relationship. And that alone receives the approval of our God. We learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, that the Apostle Paul, when speaking to the saints at Corinth, says that those who practice adultery, fornication, sodomy, or homosexual lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I find it interesting in this too. He says, and such were some of you. That were is important. They were, but they are no longer. They were fornicators. They are no longer. They were adulterers. They are no longer. They were homosexuals. They are no longer. What happened? He says, you have been washed. In baptism, they put Christ on. And in baptism, they repent of the sin that separated them from the Almighty God. Good people, whenever we think in regard to homosexuals, we love them and God loves them, but yet we hate the sin that they participate in. And for that reason, God calls them, as well as all sinners, to repentance. To confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, to submit themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and to be raised out of that watery grave of baptism, then to walk in newness of life, to no longer participate in the sin of homosexuality.